Y'all enjoying the class up to this point?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're in week four. It's crazy. I was talking to the team this morning about just how fast week four, this is already, I can't believe we're already in week four. I know it's a 12-week process, but man, it happens like that. Our encounter class started two Sundays ago. We're fixing to be in our third encounter class, the fourth one. I can't believe next week I'll be halfway. It's just amazing how time flies when we're having fun, huh? Well, let me look at this itinerary because I think I have about 2 hours to speak tonight. Is that not in y'all's book? Okay. Let me set this because I get going. Well, you know how it is. So I have, okay, that'll work. Let me set this, see if I can get y'all ahead of here on time. Tonight we are talking about the Holy Spirit. What did we talk about last week? The Trinity. We talked about the Trinity last week, and we touched on the Holy Spirit, but we're coming back to it this week, and there's a reason why. Because the Holy Spirit is the living essence that drives what we do. The Holy Spirit is the living embodiment of is the Spirit of Jesus and God that live inside of us. And as I was studying this, one of the unique things I'm going to get to show you tonight is because we have the Holy Spirit, okay, we have Jesus and God. We have the Father, we have the Savior, and we have the Advocate. And I don't think I've ever stopped to really process the fact that because we have the Holy Spirit, not only is that living and residing inside of us, we have God and Jesus living inside us because they're three in one. That's powerful. That means that we have all the characteristics, all the power, all the peace, all the hope, all the jet fuel that we need, all the promise that we need, all the favor and the healing that we need. And because each one of them plays a very unique role in this unified mission. And the fact that we have that residing inside of us, excuse me, it's not COVID, I promise. Because we have that residing inside of us, that should allow some of you to settle in your seat tonight and breathe a little bit. It also should make some of you maybe lean forward a little bit and say, well, maybe I want to hear just a little bit more about this. There's some things in my life that need some power. There's some things in my life that need a touch from God. And what we're going to talk about tonight is going to cover all of those areas. And so let's jump into this, the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at John 16 and 7. But before I talk about that, as I began to study this, I realized just how intentional God is. And not just intentional in what he does, not just intentional in who he is, not just intentional how he does it, but how intentional he is for his children. Can you imagine the fact that we cannot begin to grasp the power and the bigness of God because there is no limitations to him. It says that he is time. So he is behind us. He is before us. He is with us. So he has no boundaries. There is not a measuring scale that can measure the volume or the power of who God is. And he is intentional about me. Now soak that in just a second. That as you sit there at your table tonight, you get to rest and reassure yourself that the God of the cosmos, the one that breathed life into us, the one that told the water, he says, you stop here. The one that set the sun and the moon and day and night, and he did all of this in 6 days. I don't know about y'all. It's everything I can do just to get through 6 days. We can't fathom that. But he did every bit of that, and all of that, he intentionally did it for us. He intentionally did it for relationship with us. To me, that's powerful. And that's what's so beautiful about the Holy Spirit is God was intentional about giving us the Holy Spirit so we would have the embodiment of all three living inside of us because he knew that we would need it. That's how good God is for us. That's how good God is to us. That's how well he perfectly knows his children as he says, you know, because in Genesis it says, we will create them in our image. Let's make them in our image. The Holy Spirit's been there from the get-go. And from day one, he said, Holy Spirit, I got a job for you. My kids, my children, my babies are going to need you. That's why you're here. Look at this scripture. John 16 and 7, it says, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. You got to imagine, the disciples have been walking with Jesus for about 3 years, and they have seen these miracles, and they've seen this miraculous man bring dead things to life and turn water to wine and walk on water and calm storms and heal the blind and heal the sick and make the lame to walk again and the blind to see. They've watched his generosity pick up a woman that was none of his lineage, did look nothing like him, and said, you know what, I love you too. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, because the disciples were like, what? You're going where? You did what? With who? They watched this happen. And then Jesus tells them, he says, hang on, I know you've seen all of this, but if I don't go away, he doesn't come. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, it is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. The Counselor. This is the definition. This is not your school counselor or the counselor down the road that wants you to lay on a couch and tell you their problems. Counseling's amazing. Saved my life. One of the tools that God used to save my life. But this counselor is different. The definition from a biblical, from a spiritual angle, from a spiritual standpoint is this: the Spirit of Truth. It teaches and reminds believers regarding the things of Jesus Christ. I said this last week in the class. Imagine if Jesus was still here and there was just one of him and we were all in a line for him. I get aggravated waiting in the line at Whataburger. Well, that's about like waiting on Jesus sometimes. You can laugh at that. It's okay. God's got a sense of humor. But could you imagine us standing in line saying, I'm next. It's like being at the driver's license place, you know. They give you the card and you're waiting, and 4 days later you're still waiting for your driver's license. Well, imagine that's basically what it would be like if we were trying to wait to get to Jesus. But he says, I'm going to send the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, that teaches and reminds believers regarding the things of me. He says, I don't want you to have to go a second, a minute, a day, an hour without me. So I'm going to go away, because God had a plan from the get-go to send the Advocate, to send the Counselor, so that I will be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where. Does that excite anybody in here tonight? Because you got to realize, because you're the lineage and the child of Jesus Christ, you have the living Spirit of God and Jesus living inside your heart. That is awesome. Gosh, that allows me to breathe in the midst of some upside down circumstances. There's some of y'all in here tonight that have some, no, everybody in here has an upside down circumstance in their life. I just got news a while ago that my precious 10-year-old daughter may go deaf. She may not hear again. Well, that could be heartbreaking for a parent. You want to know what? For me, it was. But when I got to lean against the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he says, I created her for something, son, and she's in the palm of my hand no matter what, that's where my strength comes from. Because I can tell you, if it was on my strength, I wouldn't be up here right now. I would be trying to figure out, what can I do to save my kid? What can I do to fix my daughter? I don't have to. Because the Holy Spirit's residing inside of me. He says, I've been there since the get-go, son. I knew this is coming. I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for her. And I'm going to walk y'all through this. All you have to do is trust. All you have to do is this right here. I'll take care of the rest. That lives inside of every one of you tonight if you're a believer.
That is a fight we have inside of us. And I don't know about you, I need the fight of Jesus in me to deal with this old world. So let's look at who the Holy Spirit is. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why is that important? Anybody? Why is the who so important? Anybody? Huh? Say that again. So we know who he is. Who is he? Who is he relationally to? There you go. Now you're getting there. So you got to understand the who is important. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to think that we're just talking about this figment of our imagination. You have to realize that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the spirit embodiment of God in Jesus Christ. So the who is so important because when I get the news 3 hours ago that my daughter is, when the doctor said, hey, you might want to look into what you can, thanks for the deaf community. Well, when I said, thank you, Lord, I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying I had it. It wasn't this, I have this idea of something inside of me. I knew the living God, the one that breathed life into my lungs, was in control. That's why it's so important that we know who he is, because when we're serving and we're seeking and we're praying and we're resting in the Holy Spirit, we're resting in the God of the cosmos. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Because he's everything that drives us. So let's look at some of the characteristics of who he is. Number one, he is the Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. This is how his identity. This is how we identify him. If we identified him as anything else other than God, he would not be able to live up to his responsibility. Because God's the only one that can do God things. So because he is the Spirit of God, and because he is the third member of the Trinity, the who behind it is we know, all right, this guy we're talking about now, he's powerful, he's capable, he's able, he has the ear of the Father, he has the power of the Savior. You see where I'm going with that? So his identity to us is so important. Think of a kid. I've got a 6-year-old daughter about this big. I love her with everything in my heart. And she gets to say, that's big old Joker. There's my daddy. Well, imagine if someone jumps on my 6-year-old. Because of her identity in me, she doesn't have to fight that battle. That's mine. You see, you feel me? She knows my daddy has my back. And because I know my daddy is big, he's strong, he's not scared of much, I'm going to be okay. Well, guess what? My daddy that has my back is all powerful. There's nothing that can come against the gates of my Father. So I have a daddy behind me that's fighting my battles, and I look at my daughter and say, man, it's awesome that you can rest in that. Then I say, well, Justin, you can too. You get to rest even more because your Father is perfect. Your Father cannot fail you. It's not in his DNA. That lets me walk up and down the road every day knowing I'm going to be good. No matter what, even if my daughter never hears another sound, you want to know what? God's still good. Even if these big old hands have to learn sign language, I'm okay with that. God is still good. God still has a purpose. And you know what? There's still going to be glory that comes from this. Y'all need to let that soak in. That's why this identity is so important. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 says, remember a while ago I told you because we had the Holy Spirit, because of the relationship, we had all three? Look at this. This is what we get. If y'all weren't studying the Bible, you need to get in this Joker because this is the most amazing, mind-blowing, reassuring book that you'll ever, ever lay your eyes on. Look what 2 Corinthians says. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who in here needs some grace? That's everybody in this room. And the love of the Father. Is there anybody in here tonight that needs to feel some love from the Father. We all do. There's nobody in here that says, I don't want to be loveless. I'll never get to a place where I say, God, quit loving me. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Because of who he is, because of his identity, because he is the Spirit of God, we get the grace of Jesus Christ, we get the love of the Father, and we get the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. That's for all of us. Come on. That ought to make you look at that mountain you're climbing and say, you know what? I can because he already did. That mountain you're looking at in your life right now, that one you've been trying to knock down yourself your whole life, that addiction, that idea, that relationship, your finances, your children, your health, whatever it may be, that thing that lives inside of you that's driving you crazy, that very essence of the thing that controls you and keeps you away from the righteous life God called you to, you can look at it and say, I don't have to fight this battle no more because of who my daddy is, because the living embodiment of Jesus Christ and God lives inside of me through salvation. I didn't have to do nothing to obtain it, but to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So if the devil's sitting here trying to tell you right now, yeah, but you haven't done enough to be in that position, that's a lie. That's a lie. The truth is, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I'm going to prove it to you here in just a little bit, you instantly were baptized with the Holy Spirit in your heart, and there's a transfer of ownership and said, that one's mine. Now you got to fight me for that one. Quit fighting these battles on your own. We're not built like that. If I had to fight this battle on my own, it would destroy me. Number two, he is a person. He is a person. He has emotions. He has emotions. Because he is a person, because he has emotions, listen. As much as God does for us, we have a responsibility in it too. We can't just say, okay, I'm saved. God, you take care of the rest. I'm going to live the way I want to live. You can't operate like that. But because Jesus just didn't come to break sin, but he also come to enforce the law, but the law the right way. Look at this. In Ephesians 4 and 30, it says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The definition of sorrow is deep distress, sadness, or arrogance. Basically, guys, how we live is vital. How we live is vital. If listen, I can say this in this class. If you're living like hell 6 days a week and then trying to get a little bit of Jesus on day seven, you probably don't like where your life is right now. You're probably fighting some battles that you were never intended to fight. And when we do that, we bring sorrow upon the Holy Spirit by the way we live. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. I've brought sorrow on him today, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll do it before I go home, and I'm sure I'll do it tomorrow. But I'm going to bust my tail tomorrow to know him more, to be more righteous, and to hear him more. Which goes back to the reason why we need the grace of Jesus Christ. The way we live, guys, is vital. And that little thing that's speaking to you right now, that's convicting of you in that area, that's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to give this up. This belongs to me. Because one thing God will not do is God will not fight you for the seat of your throne of your life. There can only be one captain. He will not share that throne with you. He'll say, all right, that's yours. But the minute you're willing to give it to him, he'll take it over. And the way we live our life is a reflection of who Jesus Christ is in us. He is relational with us as well as the Father and the Son. We've talked about this. This gives us full and complete access.
to the Father, the Son, to the love, to the grace, to the power, to the healing. It gives us access to everything because He is relational with us as well as the Father and the Son. So there's four of us in this relationship. Jesus, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and us. God deemed us important enough to bring us into that fold. God said, y'all, as wretched as you can be, you are enough. I'm gonna bring you into this relationship. This is a relationship that I need to be part of. This is a relationship that I can buy into. This is a relationship that if I don't have this fourfold relationship with three of them in charge, I don't make it. Number three, He is eternal and holy. And it says, the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. That's in Genesis. That's talking about Him being there from the get-go. And Him being eternal and holy, that means He's been here. That means He's here now. And that means that He's going to be here in the end. We don't have to worry about Him leaving. He's been here from the get-go, and He's going to see this thing all the way through. So you can buy into Him. He's not going to let you down. So now let's look at what He does in my life. That right there, that next statement of what He does in my life, that's why who He is so important. Because when we know who He is, and then we relate that to what He does in my life, then it changes the what. The who always changes the what. Let's take golf for a second. Who's the greatest golfer ever? Where's the golf guy at? Huh? Tiger Woods. Who said that? Right there. Are we going to go with Tiger? Y'all good with that? Tiger's fine. So I've played golf before, right? I've played. And let me say, I showed up. I had some clubs. I eventually run out of balls. But I've played before. But if Tiger's standing there and I'm standing there, who are you going to get to pick to be on your team and to coach you? Let's be honest. Tiger. And it's because of who He is. And it's because of what He's done. And it's because of what He's capable of. Well, that's the reason why it's so important that we know who the Holy Spirit is, because of what He's done, what He's capable of doing, and what He's doing. That's why these two tie together like that. So let's look at what does He do in my life. Number one, He comes into my heart the moment I invite Him to do so. He comes into my heart the moment I invite Him to do so. This right here is the first step in the most powerful, peaceful, restful, beautiful journey you'll ever take. This is the first step. And we only have a small part in this step. We just have to confess and believe. He does the rest. But I want to show you what He does when that happens. Why this transfer is so powerful. In Ephesians 1 and 13, it says, having believed, that's whose part? Having believed, whose part is that? That's our part. Having believed. You were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, transfer of ownership. You were marked with Him with a seal. The definition of seal, soak this in for a second. It is something that confirms, ratifies, makes secure, guarantees, or assures. The day you believed, the day you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you were, excuse me, you were confirmed, you were ratified, you were made secure, you were guaranteed, and you were assured the promise of the Holy Spirit.
you were marked with a stamp. That means when the enemy comes against you, you are stamped with the blood of Jesus Christ on your forehead, on the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart. And he says, hang on a second. I got to look at this one a little bit different because I know who his father is. Go back and study the Gospels. Before people even knew who Jesus was, the demons were saying, hang on a second, I recognize you. That's the Son of Man. That's the Son of God. They recognize the presence and the power of Jesus because they know they do not have any authority over it. We have the seal of Jesus Christ stamped on us tonight. Somebody in here needs to understand that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, you come see me after this class because you need this seal. You need this stamp. But the rest of you, some of you are here walking around defeated because you don't know what tattoo you have on you. You don't know that you have the blood of Jesus poured out over your head, over your children, over your life. That puts you in a position of victory. Why do we walk around and fight defeated? When God says, the battle's won, it's mine. And if I have victory, you have victory because I am in you and you are in me. What is mine is yours. Guys, are y'all getting this? We're talking about the seal of eternity. We're talking about if you drive home tonight and you don't make it, you're not going to bust hell wide open. You're going to walk into glory with Jesus Christ because you have the seal, yes, and the blood of Jesus on your life. And that seal is not just for salvation. That seal was for your purpose. I've said it 1,000 times, for a promise. It was for peace. It was for strength. It was for hope. I get to walk around with that seal knowing that my family's okay. That if they take every single thing that I got, my finances are okay. You want to know why? It all belongs to my father anyway. They want to come get my house, come get it. They want my truck, come get it. If you take everything you want from me, but they can't take the seal away from me because that was stamped on me at salvation. And my father owns it all anyway. Come get it because I'll get it back. It's what makes me wake up and drive like I drive every day. Not physical drive, spiritual drive. It's the very living essence to know. This is why the Bible says, why would you worry? How can it add one cubit to your stature? It's because when we know who we're sealed by, what can they take away from us? Seriously. The worst they can do is kill you. Praise God. Because I'm going to be with my father. My daddy always told me, he says, son, they can't eat you. That's right. That's what that seal does for us. Man, I love this stuff. Number two, it teaches and reminds us of what we need to remember. Man, I love this. Of what we need to remember. John 14 and 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Why is this important? Why do I need him to teach me and remind me of what we need to remember? Remember, he had to promise the disciples. You got to think about the disciples. Them jokers were fishing one day. God said, hey, drop your nets, come on. Okay. That's pretty much what it's like. Leave your family behind and come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay, well, for 3 years, they see this miraculous thing, and all of a sudden, whoa, he's dead. Where'd you go? I thought you were, what happened? But prior to that, what did he promise them? The Holy Spirit. This is why. It's because he was sending them out on a mission. He was sending them out to do the Great Commission. He was sending them out to continue to do what Jesus started. They couldn't do it on their own. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you one that's going to remind you of the things you've seen for 3 years so you don't walk in fear. Think of the disciples. When they signed up for this, look how they died. Either beheaded or stoned. It was brutal. They didn't die of old age. They knew the end result was going to be persecution for the Father, for Jesus, but they believed so much in the mission because they seen what Jesus did. Imagine if they would have had to walk that process by themselves. God said, there's no way you can do it. So I've got him right here, and he's going to remind you of everything that you saw. And he's going to remind you to be able to speak when you need to speak. The Holy Spirit, that tug in your heart, is reminding you every day of why you're here. And the reason why we're here is because Jesus allowed it. The reason why we're still here is because Jesus has a plan for your life. The reason why you're here is because God is not done using you for his kingdom. If you're still here, God's not done with you because he has something greater than what you're living in right now, no matter where you're at in your walk in your life. And he says, I'm going to empower you and remind you of who I've been. God saved me from an addiction of not little drugs, big drugs, the kind that gets you put under the prison. He saved my marriage after I left my wife and kids. He saved me from, I was an extreme alcoholic. I'm still fat, but I was even more extremely fat when I started this process. And he saved my life from me. He saved my health. He saved my kids. He's going to save my daughter. I'm not worried about it. And it's because I remember what he's done for me. I remembered when I had that pinhole sticking out of my nose and I was passed out in my own throw up. And I remember God said, you're still mine. There's still a plan for you, son. I still have you in the palm of my hands and I'm going to use this to glorify me. Now get up and remember what I've done for you. I get to remember what he's done for me through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you get in that dark time, and that Holy Spirit says, yeah, you remember this? Remember that good time? That's him saying, remember me. Let me remind you of who I am so you can continue to do what I've called you to do, whatever that is. Number three, he prays and intercedes for us. He prays and intercedes for us. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. This is all I want to say about this, guys. Prayer is, it is a conversation, a connection with God. Don't overcomplicate prayer. Prayer is you talking to God. And the scripture says, I know what, it says the one who searches your mind. God knows what's here. He knows what's here. So if you're angry at God, don't be scared to tell him. He's a big boy. If you're confused, tell him. But if you're joyful, tell him. If you have praise in your heart, tell him. He already knows. We're not hiding nothing from him. And when we go to him, the Holy Spirit is in there. He is the intercessor to our prayer, and he is tapping on the ear of God and said, hey, consider Brandon. Consider what he's going through. Remember, he's yours. Consider Shelly. Consider Giles. Consider Butch. Consider Sheila. Consider Cole. Consider Doris, right? Dorothy. Dorthus, what is it? Dorcas, oh, it's beautiful. Remember Amber. He's standing in the gap for us, fighting our battles, communicating to God. Intercessory prayer is one of the most powerful things we can do as people. We have the Holy Spirit as the intercessory prayer every day. But let's not overcomplicate this, because the enemy will try to overcomplicate something simple to knock you off track. Just talk to him, guys.
If you seen me driving down the road talking to God, you'd probably think I was crazy. Because I talk to him like he's sitting beside my, in me in my truck, because he is. He's right there. It's the reason I'm here today. Now, if I can't talk to him, he's the only one who understands all this craziness up here. Ask my wife. I promise. Number four, he is our comforter, our encourager, our strength, and our advisor. He guides us in the way we should go. Some of y'all are troubled in here tonight, and the reason I know, because it's almost spirit. Some of y'all are troubled in here tonight, and you're trying to figure out, how do I take my focus off of it? How do I sort through this? How do I get my eyes on Christ? How do I rest? How do I find that peace? And I'm fixing to give you the roadmap right here. He says he comforts us, talking about the Holy Spirit, in all our troubles. Our God does nothing incomplete. In all our troubles. So whatever you're dealing with, in all of your troubles, he is with you. So that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. I want that. I want that. I want to know that when Sarah's hurting and I come and pray for her, that the same comfort God's given me is the same comfort God's given her through me. I need that. Because I can tell you, your prayers, they won't do nothing for me. My prayers, they won't do nothing for y'all. But the power of the Holy Spirit through me to y'all is the same comfort that I received through Christ. And it's me getting to lay my hands upon you, or praying for you over a phone, or praying for you, well, however we're praying. And the same comfort that I get through the Holy Spirit is the same comfort that you get. I want that. I want to know that when I'm praying over my babies, that it's not Justin Lindsay's word, Justin Lindsay's power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. James, what about you? Huh? What about you, sister? Nadine, are your prayers big enough to do what you need to do on your own? No. But you don't have to worry about that. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives and resides inside of you, and the power of God is in you. We have the power of God in us. We are not weak, unable, shriveled up little beings that have no power. On our own, sure. But we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Y'all are powerhouses in here. Y'all were built to rattle the gates of hell and to glorify the gates of heaven. So when you pray with the confidence of that Jesus Christ himself is in the room praying and raising those things up. If there's dead things in your life that need to be resurrected, you stand firmly on the word of God and you pray over those things, knowing that the power of the one who raises things from the dead, that's the power that you're praying with because of the Holy Spirit. He encourages us, he has strengthened us, and he advises us. Lord, if I didn't have that, where I'd be? Y'all'd be in a bind. Y'all would be like, what is this crazy fool talking about? Because I can tell you, if I did not have the advisement of the Holy Spirit, there's no telling what I'd tell y'all. I'd have y'all running down rabbit tracks. Well, that Lindsay boy up there at church told me that. But I know what I'm telling you is biblically right, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. Because I know me. I do not have this ability. Number six, it gives us the power to be witnesses. Y'all know I'm going to talk about this. It gives us the power to be witness. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It does not say you will receive power if the Holy Spirit comes. It says when he comes. So when you receive salvation, that power come. And then it says, and you will be my witnesses. It does not say if you want to be. It says, and you will be. That's a petition on your life. The Great Commission. And if you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't speak. I can't play the guitar. I can't sing. I'm not talking about serving on a golf cart. What I'm talking about is telling a brother or sister in your life, let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. Your testimony is your greatest witness tool. Because y'all are going to reach people that I'll never come into contact with. Brandon, you're going to reach people at the bank that I'll never see in my life. That sit down for a loan or whatever it is they sit down for. For a boat you're going to have to repo. And your mission is generosity, it's truth, it's love, it's compassion. And if God opens that window, it's to tell them in an unapologetic but gentle way of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You may be the one thing that's standing between them and knowing Jesus. That's our mission. We talked about this last week. There's what, like 60 of us in there, 50 of us? Let's say 50 for easy math. 54? Let's do 50 for easy math. I'm from Alto, sorry. If each one of us struck out tomorrow and did the mission, that's 50 more people in this community that have an opportunity to experience grace, to experience compassion, to experience love, to possibly even experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. 50 more people. That's what the church is for. We're a church of over 2,000. Imagine if our church did it twice a week. If everybody in our church, just so let's scale it down, if everybody in here connected with two people, two conversations out of 7 days a week, that is 100 people. And imagine if half of them then go tell somebody else. Now you're at 150. You see what I'm saying? You see how this domino effect happens when we do what God calls us to do? We're not all built to talk to the multitudes. We're not all built to sing and praise. If I was to get up there and sing on a Sunday morning, you would get your little Bible bag and you would walk out, because it would be a natural born disaster. I don't even like to hear me sing. I mean, I can get to singing worship music and I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, you're going to take back over, because that was terrible. That was so far off key. But our mission is just to tell people about Jesus and act like Jesus. That's it. Be like Jesus, tell them about Jesus. We can all do that in our own unique way. You don't have to have a sermon at the Kmart, Circle K, whatever it's called, Big Texas, whatever they all are now. That's not what he's saying to do, unless he's calling you to do it. But that coworker, that brother or sister, that cousin, that neighbor, we are called to that. Number six, it draws both the unsaved and believers to God. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And he says, then I will raise them in the last days. Who is Jesus after? Who was Jesus, The lost. Thank you, brother. He was after the lost. Who should we be after? We should be after the lost. Jesus chased them down relentlessly. Who in here is so proud that someone relentlessly told them about Jesus? I am. Because if somebody wouldn't have told me about Jesus Christ, I'd be about 6 foot under right now. And that's no joke. From where I was to where I'm at, I'd have never made it. Thank God someone stopped and told me about Jesus. Thank God he saw me in my unsaved, wretched self and said, I want that one right there. That one right there, he's mine. I know he's loud. I know he sweats a lot. I know he's from Alto. And I know he's going to make fun of me some. Because me and Jesus have that relationship. Because he does have a sense of humor, praise God. But he said, I want that one. He says that about all of them. I want that one. I want that one. I love that one. He doesn't see color. Come on. I'll preach it. My responsibility is to preach the truth. Whether you like it or not, that's my responsibility. I'm just responsible to God, nobody else. He doesn't see color. He doesn't see social status. He doesn't see health conditions. He doesn't see attitude. He doesn't care where you live, what you drive, how you smell. He cares about one thing, your heart. That's it, because we all bleed red. That's the only thing Jesus cared about. When we start looking at our neighbor like that, we will change this country. We will change this community. We will change our neighborhoods. And if you don't think that we have the power to do that now, that is the enemy saying you'll never make an impact. If you change one person's life, you've made an impact. One person. Number 7. He equips us with strengths we need to accomplish God's purpose. Romans 8:26 says, and it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Helps us in our weakness. It says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be explained in words. Let's go back to that very beginning, and the Holy Spirit helps us in weakness. Does anybody in here have a weakness? It's okay to raise your hand. Hey, we're family now. I've already sweated all over top of every one of y'all. Here's the great thing about that, is that weakness is what God wants to use as a platform to glorify himself and to strengthen you. Where the enemy says, you'll never be able to use that. Moses couldn't speak. He stuttered. But he is considered the greatest prophet ever. Peter was just a fisherman. That's it. A little scrawny, dark-haired fisherman. And he says, I will build my church upon you. Your weaknesses are the very thing that God exalts you in. So number one, he can be glorified. And then number two, you can use it to change someone else's life. Have you ever heard, and I stand by this, the power of me too. The power of me too. Jennifer, you've never been through a divorce, have you? I have. So if anybody's gone through a divorce and they're struggling right now, you can talk to me and I can say, you know what, me too. That was a weakness that God turned for his glory so that I can help others and strengthen them. My weakness was, when I tell you I was a food addict, I was a food addict. I got a long ways to go. But I can tell you, if you're addicted to something in here, I can say, you know what, me too. If you've been abused, I can't say that. But there's somebody in this room or somebody in this church that can say, you know what, brother, sister, me too. That's the power of our weaknesses in the hands of the Holy Spirit. There's a story in the Bible of the widower's son. She's a widow, so that means what? Husband's dead. And they're on their way to bury her son. To make a long story short, they encounter Jesus. Jesus, number one, he tells her, hey, he says, chill out, be happy. Call it crying out. That's how I like to read the Bible. I said, zip. I'm serious. I think God said, zip, zip it up. I do it to my kids. I did it to my wife once. It didn't go well. See how fun the Bible is? And he touched the casket, and he told that boy, and he says, get up and speak. That boy had a chance. Listen, he had a choice. He chose right. But he was in a casket. So that means when he told him to get up, what was he standing in? The casket. So the very thing that was about to bury him is now his platform for ministry. You think about that. And then it says, after the boy spoke, word of Jesus spread throughout the surrounding areas like wildfire. Because one kid, one encounter with Jesus, took the very thing that identified him as dead. Jesus touched it and said, boy, get up and speak. He stood up in that casket, and that casket became his platform for his ministry, and the word of Jesus spread like wildfire. Come on, somebody, you have a weakness in your life that God wants to unleash for his glory. Quit hanging on to it. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to say that God will never forgive me for this. Listen, it does not matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did this morning. It doesn't matter what you did on the way to here. If you fell into that weakness in your life, it does not matter because you cannot change it. But you have an opportunity and a choice moving forward to say, God, here's my weakness. Find me someone that says me too. Get me some help so you can be glorified in this. That is the power of the Spirit in our weakness. Number 8, he convicts people of sin. Pre and post salvation. We talked about this. That little twinge that's in your heart that tells you to quit looking at that, tells you to quit talking to them, tells you, you shouldn't go to lunch with that person. You shouldn't text that individual. You shouldn't drink that. You shouldn't eat that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't listen to that. You shouldn't gossip that. Don't. Gossip just as poisonous as murder to God. God don't see no level of sin. Sin's sin to him. But that little twinge where you say, oh, my conscience was on me today. No, it was not. That's the Holy Spirit saying, uh-uh. That's the Holy Spirit saying that. I would really prefer you not to do that. Because number one, you're going to bring me sorrow. But number two, it's going to bring unrighteousness in your life, and it's bad fruit. And there is no benefit in it. There's none. That thing that you cling to, that you say, yeah, but this is mine, I enjoy it, and it's against the righteousness of God, I promise you, it may temporarily bring you joy for a little bit, but there is no sustainable joy in it, I promise. It'll leave you dry and empty every time. Now, I want y'all to look at this next scripture. I don't know if it's on the, is Tommy, is 1 Thessalonians in there? I want you to put that up there. Okay, it's in the books under this deal. I'm sorry. I read this thing, and this put me on my knees. I want y'all to dig through this scripture. We're almost done. I'm ahead of time. Y'all are okay. I want y'all to look at what 1 Thessalonians says. Man, this right here got me. It says, because our gospel, what is the gospel? The good news. Because this good news came to you not simply with words, but also with what? Power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. It says, you know how we lived among you for what? Come on now. If you don't not picking up what I'm putting down on that, he is saying, I have give you the good news. We have brought the good news to you. We didn't just bring it to you in this weak form, but it has been brought to you in power. Jesus was the gospel. He was sitting down with Samaritan women by the well. Knew everything about her. Thought her life was over. And he's sitting down at the well with the Samaritan woman. And he says, go in there and tell them what I've done for you. He says, what you're looking for? You're looking for bread. And he said, you're looking for water. He said, come follow me. He picks the sick up and he heals them. He turns, the first miracle is what? Water to wine. He walks on water, he calms the storms, and if you study the Bible, every time he calmed the storm, he come out on the other side on the other bank. That's a whole nother sermon there. Why am I saying all this? Because the disciples saw the power of the gospel. That was the good news that people were looking for. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us from this wretched hell that we've been living in for all these years. They got to see the gospel of Jesus Christ lived out. They were part of it. He empowered them. Peter healing the blind, making the lame to walk. That same experience is in us through the Holy Spirit, and it's for whose sake? Our sake. Why? Why is it for our sake? Y'all know I'm going to interact with you because I want you to get this because I love you guys. Why is it for our sake? It's for our sake because Jesus, number one, he wants us to have the power. All right? But he cares so much about us. He says, I want to give you this roadmap. I want to give you this line. I want to give you this structure of what it looks like to follow me. Because if you'll do it my way, if you'll follow me, it's for your sake because I love you so much. I care so much about you. It's for your sake because I want you to have power. It's for your sake because I want you to experience healing. It's for your sake because I want you to be free. It's for your sake because if you live a life of righteousness that I'm calling to you, you'll never have more peace. You'll never enjoy your life. You'll never live on more of a promise than you do without living the righteousness life of Christ. He said, this is for your sake so you can see what I've done, so you know what you can do through me, and so you can see how to live because I want you to have life and life what? More abundantly. That's why it's for our sake. The gospel tells us what to do. The gospel shows us the power. The gospel gives us the roadmap to live our life. He says, I did this for your sake. For our sake. Man, I love that. The thing that pulls us out of this walk, the reason why it's for our sake is because we slowly drift out of alignment, the spiritual alignment with Christ. If you're struggling with spiritual alignment with Christ, I encourage you to show up Sunday night at 6 o'clock to the chapel for encounter because it's one of the things that we talk about. If you're wondering why your life's out of order, you're struggling with some things, I just can't quite get this down the track, show up 6 o'clock Sunday night. We have a place for you. And let us help you get your life back in alignment for your sake. And number 9, it says it gives us the power over sin and sets us free from the sin we cannot get rid of on our own. Romans 8 and 11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. Come on now, y'all are fixing to get a big old pile of power right here. You're fixing to get a big old injection in the arm. You're fixing to get this top secret file, this top secret portfolio of what you have access to. And it says the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. That means we can bring dead things alive, people. I'm not telling you can touch a flower and bring it to life like that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm telling you that the thing that lives inside of you is the same spirit that pulled Jesus up out of that tomb. Come on, that's inside of you. So that living spirit, the things that are dead in you, the things that need to die in you, the things that need to be resurrected in your life, you have the power living in you right now. Come on. I don't have to fight this battle of who I could be on my own. I get to receive the promise of who Jesus has called me to be because the dead things in my life have died. He resurrects new things in me every day because the spirit that raised him up is a spirit that wakes me up in the morning, breathes life into my lungs, and gives me purpose, gives me power, gives me freedom, and gives me protection. That's our God. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us.
And when you receive powerful knowledge like that from the Word of God, think about the story of the talents. All right? The owner gave them this one a talent, this one a treasure, and this one a treasure. One took and multiplied it. Great job. Another one took and multiplied it. Great job. The other one buried it. When God gives you these truths that you're powerful, that you have resurrecting blood and resurrecting power living inside of you so you can be who God's called you to be. If you take it and you hide it and you snuff it out, God cannot move in your life. But if you'll take it and say, you know what, God? Here I am. Use me. Use me to serve you in whatever capacity. If it's cleaning the toilet, I'll do it to your glory. If it's speaking on the biggest stage in America or in the world, I'll do it to your glory. If it's chasing kids, if it's whatever it is, if you'll do this right here, the dead things will die, the things in you are supposed to be resurrected will come alive, and your purpose will come alive. But we cannot serve Jesus with a handful of junk on the right and one hand like this. He can't operate. He says, I need complete surrender. You want victory? Surrender. You want victory? Surrender. Jesus does everything backwards. He says, you want your finances to be right? Give. You want victory? Surrender. The world tells you to go get it. The world tells you to steal it, lie to get it, whatever you got to do. If you think it belongs to you, go get it. God says, all you got to do is surrender. I'll give it to you. That is the beautiful calming thing about being a Christian, is that all we have to do is throw our hands up and surrender and say, I give up, God. I'm yours. And when we do that, and we write Matthew 6:33 on the doorpost of our heart, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added. And that's saying, God just says, hey guys, if you wake up, put me first in everything you do, I will take care of everything else. You'll put the vertical first, I'll take care of the horizontal. That is the simplicity of the Christian walk. And we overcomplicate it because we think we have to work or do this, or we have to make this approval or meet this approval. And that's the enemy saying, you're never going to be good enough because you don't do enough. You're never going to be good enough because of who you are. You're never going to be good enough because of where you've been, the things you've seen. There's no way God can forgive you. I got three beautiful daughters, and there's not a single thing in this world they could do to make me love them any less. Y'all in agreement with that? Well, then how could the Creator love you any less? It's impossible. Last one, guys, we'll wrap up. Number 10, he molds us into the image of Christ. I love the word molds. Guys, this is a process. I know I get up here and hammer on some of this stuff because I'm number one passionate about Jesus Christ, but my number two thing is I'm passionate about people because I know that if I continue to get myself molded in the image of Christ, God will keep using me. But if I mold myself to the image of the world, that's a different story. But because I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, he molds me to be like Jesus Christ. And in that process, we show good fruit. In that process, our fruit is exposed. Our fruit gets strong. When we're connected to the right vine, our fruit begins to strengthen. And we mold into the image of Jesus until we meet him. What a process. That means tomorrow, each and every one of us in here have the opportunity to either grow closer and be more like God or to step further away from him. That's your choice tonight. That's our choice. All right, guys, we'll wrap this up. This week's challenge, listen, number one, invite the Holy Spirit to work in and through your lives this week. Don't overcomplicate that. Just, hey, find you a quiet place and just listen, and he'll speak. Number two, allow him to do what he wants to and what he wants to do and needs to do. Here's the big one. God's going to ask y'all to let go of some things you don't want to let go and do some things you don't want to do this week because you still want to sit on that throne. But number three is cooperate with him and obey him as he leads you to follow him. I promise you, if you'll do it, you won't regret it. The enemy will make everything that's in your life that's unrighteousness look so good and so appealing to keep you away from the grace and the graciousness and the power of Jesus Christ. But when he petitions your heart this week, because he's going to, that twinge, don't deny it, guys.
Don't deny it. Let me pray and we'll get out of here. Father, we thank you, God, that your Spirit's in here tonight. There's evidence of your Spirit residing right now, Father, because I can feel your presence. I can see your presence move upon your children. And God, I just thank you that we have the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit living and residing in us. And the same Spirit that resurrected your Son from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside of our hearts. God, empower us and challenge us to be waymakers, to change our community, to change our families, to change our marriages, to change our jobs. God, use us to be the catalyst. Use our weaknesses that you may be glorified in all that we do, God, and that all the good from our life gets pointed to you, because all good things come from above. We love you, Father. I pray favor over this class. I pray favor over their household, over their finances, over their health. God, I pray that you empower them. God, I pray that you begin to speak to them of their mission and their calling that you've put on their life, Father God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.